From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live Arts Edition. On today's show, now at the Lee County Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers, an exhibit titled Black Creativity. Najee Dorsey is the exhibit's curator.
It's a great representation of the brilliance of today's contemporary African-American artists. We've got slavery, we got our struggles through civil rights, and even through contemporary times.
And from Fort Myers, the stylings of 239 Acoustic Affairs. Later, it's Bach and Rock with the Naples Philharmonic Brass Quintet. Gulf Coast Live Arts Edition is next. First, the news. Good afternoon and welcome to Gulf Coast Live Arts Edition. I'm Valerie Edwards. On today's show, the importance of Black art as witness to the African American experience first gained prominence in the 1960s. Aside from the artists whose names we've come to know, artists such as Richard Wright, Langston Hughes, Zora Neale Hurston, as well as actors and musicians, aside from those, few other Black artists managed to reach the heights of household recognition outside of the Black community. Today, however, Black artists in all genres appear to have re-embraced their power, which emerged at the height of America's civil rights movement. The art is, for the most part, unapologetic for its reflection of African American life. And our first guest, Atlanta artist Najee Dorsey, he's primarily self-taught. He currently curates an exhibit at the Lee County Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers, running now through February 26, titled Black Creativity. Najee says his own art is a reflection of the life, contributions, struggle, and love he has for the American experience, expressed through the lens of his own perspective. Najee Dorsey, good afternoon and welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Good afternoon. I'm happy to be here.
Are you still traveling? When we spoke yesterday, you were on the road.
No, I was getting ready. I pulled out, believe it or not, just the life of an artist. I pulled out at 6:30 this morning from Atlanta, and I'm halfway between Atlanta and my destination in Virginia.
Okay. Well, drive safely as you're talking with us this afternoon. Najee, the exhibit is an exhibit, Black Creativity is an exhibit of contemporary Black art. Describe contemporary Black art in America today.
I would say contemporary Black art today would be art of the people that are currently working, artists like Faith Ringo, who happens to be in her 80s, who was right there in the forefront of those that protested and marched to get art in a number of the museums in New York. And then from the show, we've got Frank Frazier, who was got injured in the war in Vietnam and found art as an outlet, and he continued to be an artist and has been creating for the last 40 years. And we've got artists, I'm pulling up the rear in terms of age. I'm 38, and I'm the youngest that's in that show. But we're all working artists. We're all living and creating and exposing art and, you know, trying to share our love and our passion for our culture visually with the masses.
And how does that contemporary art differ from, say, the 1950s and 60s when we saw artists like Gordon Parks and Romare Bearden emerge?
Well, I wouldn't say it's necessarily any different. It's just it's our life experiences in today's contemporary times. I mean, a number of the struggles that they saw in the 50s and the 60s are really some of the same struggles that we have today. The struggles of representation, the struggles of finding an audience, and the struggle to have, mainstream embrace a number of the contemporary artists of the day.
Have Black art and Black artists taken a back seat to mainstream?
Well, you know, I don't know if we've ever had a front seat. But what I would say is that there's a tremendous amount of people that are supporting today's contemporary African American artists. myself and Frank and Faith and Stacy and a number of artists around the country, we get a tremendous amount of support, I'm going to say, from the community of people that come out to visit the shows, that's looking for something different, and that really have developed their own eye and understand that they can appreciate what they love, even though if it's not introduced to them by, let's say, more of a mainstream gallery or a mainstream museum, the masses are still enjoying what we're creating.
As curator of Black creativity, what are your responsibilities?
My responsibility was to pull the best of the art that I thought would give a good representation of what's currently out there. The show came about is getting six artists from Black Art in America, which is the leading social network for African-American visual artists, collectors, and art educators, and art enthusiasts. And we wanted to pull a number of artists that could bring in some good work and expose the community of Fort Myers to what we have to offer. So that's my responsibilities was to select the artists, come up with a theme, and choose the best work that was available to me to put forth before the community.
We're talking today with Najee Dorsey. He's curator of Black Creativity, now on display through February 26th at the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers. If you have a question for our guest, our phone lines are open. I'm interested. Have you seen the exhibit, and how does the work on display affect you? The number is 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. You can also email us at gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Right now, I want to invite Lydia Black, Executive Director of the Alliance, to our conversation today. Lydia, thanks for your time and welcome to the show.
Valerie, thanks so much for the invitation. It's such a pleasure to be on public radio.
Well, we are glad to have you here today. Tell me, what's the word? What are you hearing from visitors about the exhibit?
I'll tell you what, for me, it's a very personal experience in that every morning I get to walk into a gallery that is filled with pieces of work that talk about history, that talk about a culture of a people, that inspire growth, that inspire conversation. It's just a wonderful show, and I would encourage the community to come out to see it. It's a great opportunity. Najee has done a wonderful job, and the other five artists that are included here, picking out pieces, again, that are great conversation starters that allow us to bring in tours. We've had Joy Williams bring in about 25 children to take a tour of the gallery. We've had some local groups come in to see the work, to see all the time and effort that Najee has put into this exhibit and the exhibition committee here at the Alliance. So it's a pleasure to have this work here, and we hope that you come out and see the show as well.
Well, I promise I will. I do. I promise I will. But tell me, why have a show specifically of Black artists?
It's a good question. You know, when Najee was talking about the history or the development of this show, I have to really give credit to our volunteer exhibition committee. Pat Collins is an artist who lives here locally and serves on the committee, and she happened to spot Najee at Art Fest Fort Myers about 2 years ago. Najee, is that right, 2 years ago?
Yes, that's correct.
Najee was participating as an artist at Art Fest, and Pat was going through the booth, and all of a sudden she stumbled upon Najee, and she came back to the Alliance inspired, overjoyed, and said, we have to bring him here. We have to bring him here, not because he's a Black artist, but because his work is so inspiring, his mixed media pieces. She just engaged us immediately. We contacted Najee, or the exhibition committee contacted Najee, and this exhibit has kind of come over the course of those discussions of talking, Najee, what about your work? Is there something else that we should bring to the Southwest Florida community that that could be a meaningful exhibit? I think here in Southwest Florida, we have a lot of, we lack the conversations on racial reconciliation, the real honest talk about Black and white in our community today. Lee County was, I believe, the last county to desegregate, and we still see segregation here. So bringing in some Black artists, I think, is a great representation to start the conversation, not only to appreciate the work and the value of the work for the work that it is, but also to bring community together to talk about some big issues. And that's exactly what Najee did during his walk and talk talk during the opening. He engaged folks in talking about documenting history, documenting culture, and then, you know, where do we go from here, and being part of that discussion.
And I had a chance to visit your website, Naji, and see your footage of that walk and talk. And the audience from the footage is very diverse. There was one woman, or a couple of women from outside of the country, who seemed particularly taken by the expressiveness in your work. Can you recall their comments for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, basically what it was, I mean, they was able to identify with the human story. I mean, you know, the black experience is really no different than any, you know, I mean, it's different, but, you know, we're all human beings. And, you know, I think that we bring a certain flavor, or we have history here in this country, and it shows within our body of work. And she was just, you know, emotional about the work and the stories and you know, the communal aspects and the rich history. And it touched her and it moved her. And had you know, if it's not for, say, art organizations like the Alliance for the Arts that can expose a different perspective or a different aesthetic to the community, you know, she would not have had this experience. And, you know, that's the beauty. I mean, you know, sometimes people talk about, you know, well, you know, it should be just American art, or it should just be art, and why not black art? But, you know, for so long we've been segregated to say that, you know, if it's a black aesthetic and it responds to a black experience, then it's black art. Well, you know, that may be true, and it may just be art. But, you know, there's power if we can just come together and expose our own life experiences as artists to a larger community. And because she hadn't been exposed to that, she was just overwhelmed with what she saw. And that's the power and the beauty. I mean, that's the brilliance about art. I mean, there's very few things that can have that kind of response with people where they can relate to, and that you can love, and, you know, it just nurtures the soul.
And it was repeated time and time. Yeah, I was watching the video. It was repeated time and time again by visitors to the gallery. Let's go to the phones right now. We have a listener joining us for the first time. Mitch is calling from Fort Myers. Good afternoon, and welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you so much, Valerie. I just wanted to call in and make mention that this is a wonderful exhibit that's at the Alliance right now. I've been sort of in a unique position of being able to take in that artwork almost every night for about the past 2 weeks and being involved in another project. It is set up wonderfully. The colors are vibrant. The history behind it is inspiring. And in all honesty, because I am Caucasian and have lived in Fort Myers for a long time, I have to admit, it is refreshing to see a collection of artwork like this from minorities. And I just think it's a wonderful exhibit, and people should take advantage of it.
Thank you very much, Mitch, for your call.
Thank you.
Well, Naji, the caller, Mitch, the enthusiasm I hear in his voice was echoed in the video that you have posted at your website. How would you describe your own art?
My art is I would say, you know, it's going to be a Southern flair. It's my art. My art is authentically my personality. You know, I've been celebrating 16 years with my wife. I'm a young guy. You know, family values and morals are important to me. Our culture is important to me. You know, and we're both art collectors as well, my wife and I. So just art in general, we're truly patrons of the arts. We're supporters of the arts. And my art is a reflection of, you know, my culture. Even things that I haven't experienced is about that story growing up in the South. It's about, you know, middle class. It's about family. It's about following your passion. One of the series that I do on a regular basis, I have two ongoing series. One is the Parlor Room series. I have a great representation of that.
Repeat that name again for me. It's called?
The series is called my Parlor Room series.
Oh, okay.
And I have a piece at the show that's called The Family Home. And in that piece, it's a celebration of you know, I would say African-American middle class. You're going to find, I use certain symbols that you know, like the baby grand piano being a symbol of status and appreciation for the music. I have books in there. I have visual. I have art in there, you know, for the various disciplines. I use family photos. That's one of the things that a lot of people really respond to in the work. I was doing a show at the African-American Museum in Dallas, and this lady came up, and she noticed how I incorporate actual black and white family photos in my work. And she had a tub of old family photos, and she said, listen, I would love for you to do something with it. So that piece that's at the Alliance right now has about 8 original photographs from the 40s, 50s, and 60s in that piece, and they're all this one lady's family members. So it's mixed media collage, paint, fabric, photographs. You really get a piece of, you know, a piece of history, a piece of myself, you know, and that's the beauty about original art. I can't stress enough for people who hadn't really been exposed to art but that don't live with art, there's a difference, you know, in that passion and that soul and that energy of that artist is in that original piece. And we only go around once. And if you hadn't experienced living with art, you're really missing out on something.
Well, so, Lydia Black, it sounds exciting. I'm hearing, Mitch called earlier, I'm hearing enthusiasm from Najee, and I've seen the video of the walk and talk, so it really sounds like an exciting experience.
It is, and I know one thing we haven't mentioned is that Najee is not only a wonderful artist, he's a wonderful speaker and engager and a documenter. And the one of the things that he has done that we at the Alliance have found utterly amazing is his YouTube videos, where he's actually interviewing not just the walk and talk videos, but as this exhibit travels. And it's not actually a traveling exhibit. I know he picks pieces specifically for the places, but he asks folks questions, and I would encourage the readers. Najee, I don't remember the site, what they can search on YouTube, but I know I found those conversations quite inspiring as well.
I think you can find it at blackartinamerica.com.
Yes, yes. And I would love to have a minute to talk with people about that site. Yeah.
Well, we're almost out of time. I do have a question I'd like to both of you to answer. And do either of you see a time when Black artists are no longer designated as such and are simply part of the mainstream? And Lydia Black, Executive Director of the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers, let's start with you.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I was waiting. I was going to let Najee go first. I think it's a very good question. And, you know, I think that I have some realistic perspectives and then a hope. And I think that in many instances in the art world, Black artists in the art world, in my perspective, I know that there is no, to point out a Black or a white artist from the visual perspective, I don't know. What I want to get is the visual piece. And so it's my hope that there is no difference, but at the same time, it's my hope that in any cultural community, in any minority community, Latino, you know, Asian culture, that folks in those cultures document that history, because history is part of knowledge, and it's part of identifying more about ourselves as we learn about others' history. So for me, I want to be a little more thoughtful about this, but I really feel as though there's important about, as African-Americans, painting about what you know and you see and you feel, and it's part of who you are, just as if you were a Caucasian or a mix. I'm half Brazilian, half American, and just confused most of the time. And for me, there is a little bit of each of those cultures that are part of my heritage that in my art or in my personality reflects those areas. And so I think that there's something to be said about Black art in being experiencing from an African American perspective what's happening and documenting that history. But, you know, it's my hope, and I think that we are making progress towards an end where Black, white, Latino, whomever you are, that you have a place in the arts community and your art speaks for itself.
Najee Dorsey, I'll put the question to you.
Well, I'm gonna say, you know, for me it boils down to the art, and as long as the artists have an opportunity to expose it to a greater audience or to everyone, that's the most important thing. You know, America's a great melting pot. You know, but it doesn't say that within that melting pot we can't be happy about who we are, where we come from, and our own heritages. So I'm not willing to necessarily sacrifice the label of being a Black artist just to fit into, you know, a more mainstream American culture. Okay, so for me, you know, let the art speaks for itself. But, you know, give me a little Latin, give me a little Brazilian, give me a little African American, give me some of everything. You know, it's like gumbo.
A little bit,
we don't, you
yeah.
know. Yeah, you know, so it's the beauty in identifying who everybody, you know, I'm not interested in getting lost in this shuffle, okay, but I want to, you know, if I want Brazilian, I'm going there, and I don't have a problem going there, so, you know, forget the labels, you know, go enjoy the art and support the artists. And, you know, you heard it from me and artists like Frank and Faith. You know, we're you know, you can call us a black artist, but, you know, just support the arts. It doesn't matter to
okay.
me. Everybody won't feel that way, but that's just my opinion.
We've been talking with Lydia Black, Executive Director of Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers, and Najee Dorsey, Curator of Black Creativity, now through February 26th at the Alliance. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you, and I want to invite your listeners to go visit blackartinamerica.com and check us out. Thank you.
Well, let's take a short break, and when we come back, spoken word poetry from 239 Acoustic Affairs in Fort Myers. We'll be right back. This is Gulf Coast Live, Arts Edition on WGCU. Good afternoon. I'm Valerie Edwards. 239 Acoustic Affairs is an open mic show featuring live performances by local talent. That's right, Southwest Floridians. And they include spoken word poets, musicians, comedians, and jazzicians. 239 Acoustic Affairs in Fort Myers was created by performance poet and author Katrina Shanks, also known as Queen Unique. And Queen Unique, good afternoon and welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Good afternoon, Valerie. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I am glad you're here, too. And you've brought along one of your artists, spoken word poet Mark Drew. Good afternoon, Mark, and welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Good afternoon, Valerie. It feels great to be here.
Well, Queen Unique, I want to start with you. When and how did 239 Acoustic Affairs get started?
Well, I've been a poet. I mean, I've been writing poetry since I was about 9 years old. And, you know, growing up in Fort Myers, there was never really a venue, an arts venue for such. So around 2007, you know, I was like, hey, I want to try this. A lot of people kept telling me it won't work. And that kind of motivated me even more to try it. So we started it in 07 downtown.
And how has the response been from the audience?
The response, especially once we moved to the Lion's Den in 2009, was incredible. I mean, sometimes it was overwhelming. It's a lot of people that supported us, a lot of people that were excited. And I was excited because I'm born and raised in Fort Myers, and there is so
local
much
talent.
Local yeah, there
talent.
Is so much talent here. It's incredible. So,
well, in the introduction, I mentioned that part of 239 Acoustic Affairs is jazzicians. What is a jazzician?
Well, jazzicians is a fancy name for jazz musician. And we have a couple of jazzicians that come out on a regular to Acoustic Affairs. We have saxophone players. We have some singers. So it's sporadic, but we have a lot of jazz artists in Fort Myers, believe it or not.
Well, how does a jazzician? I guess it's the music. That
it
would
is.
Be different.
Cause absolutely.
I know you have R&B artists who
mm-hmm.
are part of 239.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's original music they're making, or they're doing
improvisations? It's original music. Uh-huh. Sometimes they do covers of very popular, like, old school songs. So it all depends on what the artist. We give you free, you know, you do whatever you want to do. There's really no limits or rules to it. You know, we want the artist to express themselves. So that's why it's important that we have a venue that allows them that type of freedom whenever they come in.
Do you have to have special training to be part of 239 Acoustic Affairs?
You have to have love for what you do to be a part of 239, and that takes a lot. So as long as you love what you're doing, you have a passion for it, and you thrive in it, you're more than welcome to come and take the mic. And also painters. I mean, we have painters that come out, and they display
visual
their
artists
art. Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mark Drew, good afternoon. And you describe yourself as a spoken word artist. How did you get started?
How did I get started with spoken word? Well, to be honest, it all started with hip-hop. So originally, I started off being a rap artist. But then we all know that rap has that negative connotation with mainstream culture, and once corporations got involved, so to come off in a more positive light, I prefer to say spoken word artist. But when you look at it as a whole, rhyming words together, whether you're rapping or whether you call yourself a poet, you know, you are a poet.
What do you do when you're not performing with 239 Acoustic Affairs?
Well, when I'm not performing, I am teaching, and I like to teach in two forms. One, I'm a father of two daughters, two lovely daughters, one 2.5 and 1 4 months old. So,
oh, you're a brand new daddy.
Yes, ma'am. And all the parents out there will know a parent is being a teacher. So being a teacher, a new dad, I just loved it. I love being around kids, so I decided to take my ability and my gift of words with children to uplift them and motivating them, and I tried to take that to the schools. So now I'm proud to say I am a drafting and engineering technology instructor at the great Fort Myers High School. Go Green Wave.
You had to put a plug in. Where does your inspiration come from, Mark?
My inspiration, really, it comes from my grandfather was really into jazz. So riding around with him, I was just enthralled with jazz music. I had an older brother who was in chorus. So I was always at his recitals with my mother. In church, I was in chorus. In school, I was in chorus. So I've always been involved with music. I was of this belief, because my scientific background being an engineer, that music is life and life is music, just a bunch of vibrations. Then, taking that even a step further, I look at the youth today and I realize that they can never remember the Pythagorean theorem or what they learned in history
Mark,
the day before.
I can't remember the Pythagorean theorem.
But I bet you can remember the chorus to the latest pop song on the radio.
No, I can't do that either. But I can hum the opening notes to Morning Edition.
Well, there you go. So music, it's easier to grasp. People can feel it. It's alive. It's a part of you. So if we can use this music as an educational force, I think we'll be a lot better off.
Well, I mean, you threw it out there, Mark. You threw down the gauntlet. So I want you to put the Pythagorean theorem to music and just give it to me.
Now, if you're looking at a square trying to figure out what is all there, all the four sides are equal. Now, when you cut this in half, you can use the math to find out what is beneath you. Two sides are still equal, but that one is getting loose. We call it the hypotenuse. So when you're trying to find the length of the diagonal of the square, remember, a squared plus b squared equals c squared.
That was pretty good. That was
so awesome.
Pretty good. That
so
was
awesome.
That was awesome. Queen Unique, where does the tradition of spoken word have its roots?
The tradition of spoken word, I mean, like to go off of what Mark was also saying, it's been around for a very long time. You know what I mean? So we always use spoken word. I mean, even in conversation, we're pretty much using spoken word. So I believe that the tradition started years back, of course, centuries and centuries back, through conversation, also through music and putting the poetry with the music. And, of course, you get spoken word from there. So there you have it.
So this is a centuries-old tradition.
Oh, absolutely. Poetry, spoken word has been around for ages in all different countries. So it's not like it was something that was just started, you know, recently, a couple of years ago. This has been around forever.
It's not unique to the African-American experience.
Oh, no. I mean, it's to every culture. And even at Acoustic Affairs, we have people of all races, all cultures, all backgrounds that come out, which makes Acoustic Affairs so beautiful, especially in the Lee County, Fort Myers area, because we have diversity when you come to AA. So you'll always be able to get that.
Where did the name Acoustic, 239, I'm going to go, is the area code. Mm-hmm. That's an easy one. But where'd you get the name Acoustic Affairs?
Well, I guess it was just trying to be different, sitting back trying to be different. And I'm talking with an old partner of mine, and we're like, how can we make it, you know, different? And we didn't want to use really electric guitar as much. So we wanted people to come in with acoustic equipment, also your voice. And it's an affair because, you know, you get together, everybody is together, and it's a social event. And we also have hors d'oeuvres, food, and it's a beautiful thing. So it just came to be, 239 Acoustic Affairs.
Well, you know, Mark has thrown down the gauntlet. Even some of what he said about the Pythagorean theorem comes back to me. And, well, we won't talk about how long ago that was. But, Queen Unique, I'm going to ask you, are you a spoken word artist? And can you give us a little something?
I am a spoken word artist. Like I said, I've been writing poetry since I was about 9 years old. And, wow, gosh, it's been so long since I've even grabbed a mic. And people even tell you they come to Acoustic Affairs and I'm always running around like a maniac trying to get everything together. So I kind of let everybody do their thing. But let's see. I can give you something. I'm going to give you.
And this is your original piece?
Yes, of course. All of my pieces are original. I really don't take the time to memorize other people's pieces. So let's see. In Awareness of Black History Month, Give me a second. Let me think.
Okay. While you think of something. Mark Drew, you're an electrical engineering teacher and an engineering teacher at Fort Myers High School. Do you rap to your students?
Definitely. Now, I say this with caution because when the kids find out, oh, you can rap, everyone wants to sign up, so they think it's all fun and games. But yes, we do. But of course, it's work first, play later. So on Fridays, given all assignments are turned in, everyone's attentive, we have Freestyle Fridays where I try to put the lecture into a rhyme scheme and give it to them that way.
Oh, my goodness. What do the parents say about this?
Well,
do the parents know about this?
Yeah, actually, I perform with a band by the name of Strange Arrangement, the Brothers Van Kirk. And I've actually met a few parents at my shows, and I haven't received any complaints yet. I try to keep all my music and all my words in a positive light, thus there's nothing to really bring anyone down and offend.
And how have the students responded to this?
Oh, the students think it's great. They love it. Oh, my teacher can rap. That's amazing. But my thing is I just still want to get them focused on the schoolwork. It's, the idea is to get them inspired about the math and sciences through the use of music.
My guests this afternoon are Queen Unique and Mark Drew, part of 239 Acoustic Affairs, and they're all original talent, local talent, from the Fort Myers area. Queen Unique, you've been puzzled. You've been trying to find something to share with our listeners. Have you come up with something?
I have.
Okay.
Okay. We went from kings to baby daddies. I'm sorry. I always get all choked up whenever I start to do my poetry. We went from kings to baby daddies, making love in castles to the back of caddies. We went from wives to baby mothers, from leaders to street hustlers. It's like John Brown fought for nothing. We just reversed our struggle. We went from brothers to, from sisters to be, from... I get all choked up. I'm sorry.
I get the passion in your words whenever I get to doing a little poetry. I get the passion in your words. Where can people see 239 Acoustic Affairs performing?
Acoustic Affairs, actually, we just locked in a new location today, and we're going to be.
Congratulations!
Thank you. It's going to be on April 9th at the Holiday Inn, which is actually across from Lee Memorial Hospital on 41.
April 9th. I'm writing this down. Mm-hmm. April 9th. What time?
The doors open. They're going to have an art reception first, so they have different artists that come out, painters, and then we're going to lead into the poetry segment. So around about 9:30, 10 o'clock, we'll be getting started.
So if people are interested in having their art become part of this performance, where can they go to find out more information?
They can definitely find us on, we're all over the place. They can go to 239 Acoustic Affairs. They can also go on Facebook, acousticaffairs.com. Mm-hmm. They can go on Facebook, and they can put in 239 Acoustic Affairs. There. They can look for me under my pen name, Queen Unique, or they can email me. You can also email me, 239acousticaffairsmusic@yahoo.com.
So no limits on who can perform?
No limits. Absolutely no limits.
Any age limits?
We try to stick to 18 and up, and we do have bands also that we get to the 18-year-olds. So there will be, like I said, they do serve drinks, so we kind of, you know, kind of separate it whenever it comes to that. So we do stick to usually R&B artists, jazz, like we said, poets, motivational speakers and singers, things of that nature.
And what do you do when you're not leading 239 Acoustic Affairs?
Well, to go off what Mark said also, I'm the mother of two daughters. I have a 15-year-old and an 11-year-old. So I'm what you, I guess I would be an old mother.
I just said he was a new daddy. I didn't say, I didn't mean that in terms of old and new.
I'm a mother of a 15-year-old and an 11-year-old. And I also am a property manager. Commercial property management.
Do your daughters understand the wealth of the tradition that 239 Acoustic Affairs represents?
Absolutely. Anything I do, my daughters always play a part. So any kind of promotions, I mean, my kids, at the age of 15, they're using computers a lot. So my kids help me with promotions. We've made hors d'oeuvre trays, and they get to help me with that. So they're definitely, they play a huge part in what I do when it comes to Acoustic Affairs or whatever I do. My kids are always there. Anybody that knows me knows that.
I want to thank my guests, Queen Unique and Mark Drew from 239 Acoustic Affairs. Let's take a quick break, and when we come right back, rock music at the Naples Philharmonic. Find out next. Gulf Coast Live Arts Edition will be right back. Mark, why don't you give us a little bit of spoken word poetry to go out on?
All right, a little something. This being Black History Month, I'll try to make it appropriate. Let's see what we can come up here. We're pulling this one straight from out of the air, guys. Now, I was taught that I had history, but it's always been the same. Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, will they ever change the name? Why does my history have to begin with chains? I'm not pointing a finger, I'm not saying who's to blame. Rearrangement is what we need, because education is the future. What I'm used to, what I've known, what I've grown to become, is nothing but a slave on the run. What happened to greatness in the past? What happened to those in Africa living? They praised Greece, but they failed to mention that they were borrowed much from the Egyptians. So I look back at the past and I see that much has been hidden. I'm not looking for reparations, because the past has been forgiven. I'm looking for incitement. I'm looking for change. Not in Obama, just in the curriculum, because things are still the same. Black and white, rich and poor, all the same on the inside. Black history has been smothered under the chains of slavery, but we will no longer hide. It's time to hold on to that greatness that we all have and can be. Black history is alive in all of us. It's definitely alive in me.
When you hear Naples Philharmonic, I can just bet you don't think Queen, Chicago, or Stevie Wonder. Well, coming to the Naples Phil, kicking off Friday, February 18th, it's Bach and Rock, featuring the Naples Philharmonic Brass Quintet. Here to tell us more about the show is one-fifth of the Brass Quintet, Jim Griffith. Good afternoon, Jim, and welcome to Gulf Coast Live Arts Edition.
Hi, Valerie. I'm Jim Griffith. I'm a violist in the Naples Philharmonic. I'm not one-fifth of the Brass Quintet, but they're all colleagues of mine in the Naples Philharmonic. But I'm wearing two hats today. I'm a member of the orchestra, but I'm also the director of the Sidney and Byrne Davis Art Center.
Well, tell me, can Bach and rock exist in the same place at the same time?
Oh, like you wouldn't believe. It's you basically are getting several hundred years of music advancement. The concert starts with some music by Johann Sebastian Bach, and then it advances all the way up to, like you said, Stevie Wonder and Chick Corea. It's a fabulous program, and it just keeps building right to the end.
Tell us about the selection the group will perform.
Well, like I said, it starts with some Bach, and the quintet has had some arrangements just recently made. Some of the arrangements were made by the members of the quintet themselves. And they've also used a composer out of New York named Brenda Earle, who has visited Southwest Florida before. She's a fantastic writer. And they're going to do Chick Corea's Spain. And
oh, that's one of my favorite pieces.
Right, right. It's great. And Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. Everybody knows that song. And Carry On My Wayward Son by Liv Green. And there's even some music by the band, legendary band Chicago.
Well, let's hear some of that music. I understand you brought some along.
Yes.
Jim, tell me about the piece that we're hearing now.
Well, this is the Bohemian Rhapsody, made famous by the rock band Queen. And it was recently arranged by Tracy Leonard. She's the French horn player in the quintet. And you can hear it's not only beautiful, but it's got that Pops feel to it, because everybody knows the tune.
Is it just the five of them playing, or is the entire...
Well, it's the quintet mm-hmm. playing, and then the percussionist Jim Dallas, who's been in the Naples Philharmonic since 1983, I believe, is joining them on drum set.
So it's just six people.
Six people.
This is
stage.
Very rich. This is very full. It sounds like almost like an entire orchestra is behind that.
Well, I have to say, the Sydney and Byrne Davis Arts Center is the new venue on the block, so to speak. And if you haven't been there, it's nice. It's a beautifully acoustic, warm, round sound. And then with this music in there, it's going to be, it's like you're in one of the biggest cathedrals in Europe. The sound in there is going to be spectacular.
Do you have a favorite piece in this? And I love the phrase Bach and rock. Do you have a favorite piece?
Yeah. The Bach arrangements are always my favorite, just because my classical training. But one of my favorite rock pieces is Bohemian Rhapsody. So you guys picked the right one.
And how long have you been with the Philharmonic?
I started in 1989. The day the doors opened at the Philharmonic.
Is this a full-time job for you?
Oh, yeah. It's a full-time job. They held national auditions when the hall opened. And I actually grew up here in Southwest Florida, and I was very fortunate to attend the Juilliard School. And I came back home to give back to the community, and that's when the orchestra started. I took the second audition and was awarded one of the positions and have been there ever since.
We're talking today with Jim Griffith. He's with the Naples Philharmonic, and the instrument you play again is?
I'm a violist.
Violist, okay. And we're talking about a new series kicking off on Friday, February 18th. It's called Bach and Rock, featuring the Naples Philharmonic Brass Quintet. Our phone lines are open if you have a question for our guest. Perhaps you've seen the Philharmonic perform. Perhaps you've seen the Brass Quintet perform. Give us a call and share your experiences. Our number is 1-877-428-8255. That's 1-877-GCU-TALK. You can also email us at gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. I understand the Brass Quintet. Now, are they all local talent?
Well, they're from around the country, because they all took the auditions to get the positions in the Naples Philharmonic as well. But they all studied at the finest conservatories. Some were at Juilliard with me. Some were at the New England Conservatory, Indiana University, really the top conservatories. So they are the finest brass players in the country.
And what are the instruments that make up the quintet?
Two trumpets, a French horn, trombone, and a tuba. And then, of course, the percussion will join this concert as well.
And we have Jim Dallas.
Jim Dallas is our percussionist. Yeah. You know, something we might mention is the Sydney and Byrne Davis Arts Center, where this concert will take place. If people don't know, it's the historic former federal building in downtown Fort Myers on First Street between Jackson and Lee. And it was built in 1933 as a post office originally, was converted to a courthouse in the 60s, a federal courthouse. And then it was vacated in 1998. And I was able to acquire that building, and we are giving it a third life. We've raised enough money to convert it to an art center. And it's a venue that serves the community with visual and performing arts.
And this series kicks off tomorrow. What are the other upcoming performance dates?
They're doing this performance actually as we speak, which is why they're not in studio. They're performing for the Philharmonic League luncheon today. And they're at Temple Beth El tonight, tomorrow at the Sydney and Byrne Davis Art Center, and then Saturday, I'm sorry, I don't remember the venue.
Okay.
Somewhere in Naples.
But do we have a website where listeners can find
out
more information?
Yes, of course. The phil.org is where you can go for more information, and also the box office at the Philharmonic for tickets for any of the performances. The number there is 597-1900.
Did you bring any more music for us today?
Certainly.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
Let's see.
Thank you.
Wow. Exciting, exciting music. That was fabulous. Jim Griffith is our guest this afternoon from the Naples Philharmonic. We've been hearing a production, a Chicago piece, the group Chicago, performed by the Naples Philharmonic Brass Quintet. Jim, we've got a phone call this afternoon. Okay. Let's go to the lines and welcome from Fort Myers. Terry, good afternoon and welcome to Gulf Coast Live Arts Edition.
Hey, hi, Valerie. How you doing? This is Terry Brennan.
Oh, hi, Terry.
I just wanted to ask Jim a question about the Sidney Byrne Davis Arts Center.
Sure.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
I just thought you might like to comment on how the center has really blossomed in downtown Fort Myers. Because it really has in the past year or two.
Oh, thank you, Terry. We've been open for this is our second season now, and we had 65,000 visitors last year, and we expect to break that record in a big way this year. So thank you very much for your support.
It's been such a wonderful addition to downtown Fort Myers, I'll tell you. We can't thank you enough.
When was the last time you were out there, Terry?
A few weeks ago. Okay. I go downtown Fort Myers all the time.
Okay, well, this series with the brass quintet sure sounds exciting. How'd you like that piece from Chicago?
Yeah, it was wonderful.
And, Jim, I understand you've got some new funding, a gift that just came your
way. Yeah, very exciting. This will be the first performance on our brand new stage. We received a very generous grant from the Gannett News Press Media Foundation. And we purchased the stage, and it's like a big puzzle. You can put it in many different configurations. It can even be used as risers for audience. So it's a tremendous piece of the restoration of the Art Center. So we're very excited to have our first performance with the Naples Philharmonic Brass Quintet.
Thanks for calling, Terry. Well, the series starts on Friday, February 18th. It is Bach and Rock, and it's at the Naples Philharmonic. It's being performed by the Naples Philharmonic Brass Quintet. I got to tell you, in that Chicago piece, you know, a couple of notes into it, I'm thinking to myself, where do I know that from? Where do I know that from? And it's such a readily identifiable tune, but they put a whole new spin on it.
Exactly. And that's what's great about this concert. Everybody's going to know all the music that's being performed. They've all grown up with it, and the quality and the excellence of these musicians is superb. So the combination is going to be a very exciting evening.
And I'm reading their bios. We have first Jim Dallas. He's a principal percussionist with the Naples Philharmonic Orchestra. And we have David Dash, assistant principal trumpet. We've got Tracy Leonard, assistant principal horn. Aaron McCullough, I hope I pronounced that correctly.
That's right.
Okay, principal tuba. Matthew Sonborn, principal trumpets. And let's see, who else do we have? Michael Zion, principal trombone.
Yep. And Mike is the arranger for that Chicago piece you just heard. Yes.
Yeah, that kind of is I take that in my spin class any day now. That'll really get your heart going.
Great.
It sounds like it's going to be a grand time had by all. Jim Griffith.
Thank you so much for having me, Valerie.
And thanks very much for being with us today. I hope you'll keep us up to date on what's going on with
the
Naples Phil.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
You don't mind being called the Naples Phil, do you?
I'm in the Naples Phil, absolutely.
Thank you very much. That's all the time we've got for today's show. Thank you to all of my guests for being with us today. You can comment on today's show by sending us an email or text message to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org, or you can join our blog by going to wgcu.org and clicking on Florida Talks. This is WGCU Fort Myers, Naples, Sarasota, 90.1 FM, and WMKO Marco, 91.7 FM. NPR for Southwest Florida. You got a little music for us to go out?
I think so.
This is it. Okay. This is NPR for Southwest Florida. Thanks very much, Jim.
Thank you.